the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Welcome everyone to Beyond the Pitch. My name is Juan Arango, and on this particular date, on this particular episode, we're going to be getting a little political. No, that's not what you think. It's not about me talking about the elections or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. As a matter of fact, thank goodness. It has to do more with legislative issues that could be emerging in the next few days. And that's why I brought on Mr. Christopher Viscardo, who will be explaining to us exactly what these legislative issues are in Peru. Why Peru, you ask? Well, right now, the FA in Peru is undergoing a major administrative crisis because of what's going on with Mr. Alejandro Oviedo, who is the president of the Peruvian FA. There's a law that was passed, or at least initially passed back in the month of January, that will be protecting the FA president and pretty much extending his ruling. And that's something that's a bit of a no-no as far as FIFA's concerned, especially if the government imposes that. And Oviedo pretty much finds himself mired in scandal as far as everything from being associated with Supreme Court justices in Peru, corruption between them. Even there's been talk about him dealing with drug cartels and things of that nature in that country. Of course, all of that is alleged. But of course, all of this is coming out due to different audios that have been posted, that have been shared, that have been really put out in public by the Peruvian media and many individuals that have been involved in politics in that country. So it's a very hot button right now in not just Peruvian football, but Peruvian politics, because FIFA's already stepped in. CONMEBOL's already stepped in and say, you know, they would be, you know, the Peruvian FA, Peruvian football would be disaffiliated from FIFA. They could not participate in the World Cup qualifiers, Copa America, and of course, they could not host the Under 17 World Cup later on in the year next year. So, with that being said, we'll talk a little bit with Christopher Viscardo about what's going on. Tell us a little bit more about the law. It's a very convoluted and confusing law that's being proposed, and what is going on as far as all of those specific things are concerned. So, without further ado, here's Mr. Christopher Viscardo. Welcome, and I'm here with Christopher Viscardo. Christopher, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. First and foremost, it's such a convoluted issue, and I've been talking to people about this for a few days now, mostly for me to try and kind of figure things out. Tell me a little bit more about this law, how would I translate it? I guess the Oviedo law, as many call it in Peru, the fortification law, if you will, as far as sport is concerned. Tell me a little bit more. What is it? I mean, it's a lot of things, but it really encompasses one idea. But exactly what is that idea?
Okay, let me back up just a little bit so that we can understand where the heck this law came from in the first place. Okay,
take your time.
So first of all, of course. Okay, well. So first of all, this law came because of a previous law that the Peruvian Congress was discussing, which was an effort that an ongoing effort to kind of try to restructure the sports federations in the country, because the sport federations take money from the government. About 95% of them take money from the government, and then thus Congress has the power to be able to kind of control them and set some basic rules on the deal with transparency and how they should be, how they should handle themselves and how they should report what they do with this money. Part of the effort is also in that their executive committees need to be formed in a certain way where everybody has a voice in all of the different sports federations, right? So therefore, the federation should guarantee that there is women's sports and men's sports, that the players, you know, have the right to unionize if they want to, that everybody has a fair shot, that, you know, the sports in general are being developed in the country with this government money that they're taking and so forth, right? Now, the FFPF, the Peruvian Football Federation, is kind of a special case because it does not take money from the government. It runs like a private corporation, mostly because soccer is such a popular sport that obviously there's plenty of sponsors, there's plenty of support from non-government entities that would be more than happy to help out. So therefore, they do not take that money, yet they still receive the recognition from Congress as being like the official representative of Peru when it comes to soccer, right? So they're recognized by the country as the official representatives, and obviously they are a member of FIFA, so they're recognized worldwide as the Peru's soccer representative. Anyways, so what happens is that FIFA sees that you know, the Congress is trying to restructure everything, so therefore to them this seems like a meddling of government in soccer. And this is something that has happened in other countries. Some countries like Guatemala, I want to say, have been suspended for a long, long time because of meddling of government in the sport. And as such, FIFA was actually able, with the help of CONMEBOL, with the help of the Peruvian Federation, they kind of all got together and they were able to craft a law in which Congress still recognized the Peruvian Federation as the official representative, but left it alone to do its own stuff without any government intervention, without any government control. What was so controversial about this law is that, first of all, there is a small paragraph all the way at the bottom that is a transitional paragraph. Basically, it's a one and done law. One and done clause that is added to the law that says that just so that we can kind of sync everything, like with the FIFA cycle and when the World Cup happens, then we're going to push the term limit of the current federation president an extra 2 years. Okay, this was controversial. They were saying, well, so is Oviedo basically trying to stay in power longer? What's going on with this? The other thing is that because it was such a special arrangement, it actually skipped all the committee work that a regular law should have gone through. So it was almost like they crafted the law on a Monday per se, and on a Tuesday they were voting on it in the floor of Congress. And so, of course, nobody really cared back then because this was right before the World Cup and everybody's just so excited to see Peru in the World Cup and everybody's just happy with each other and lovey-dovey, right? They just kind of let it go by.
Yeah. Oops.
So now we come back to it after the World Cup, right? And all of a sudden there is a congresswoman that says, wait, time out. What is going on with this? And she says that, you know, this is – a law with someone's name on it, right? This is a law that was crafted in such a way to benefit one person specifically. And for her, that is Oviedo. That's why they start calling it the quote-unquote Oviedo law. So mm-hmm. Now her job is that she wants to get this law repealed because she says that there is some mysterious something going on in here. It was the way that the law was crafted, was not transparent. We basically just voted on it overnight. So let's look into this, see if there's something going on here, something that we can fix if we can make this law better.
Go ahead. It's a great explanation of what you gave me, but mm-hmm. obviously you mentioned the vote, you mentioned the World Cup, you mentioned all those factors. But does the problem get even more exacerbated after Oviedo ends up being caught in the mire as far as all the other scandals are concerned? It's like, oh, wait, hold on. Not only is it someone's name on this, but the name of the person right now is probably caught in the most amount of scandals, the most amount of corruption, and the most amount of legal trouble, if you will, in all of Peru, save for one, maybe Keiko Fujimori.
That is right. I mean, I want to spare your listeners all the gory details of everything, all the political stuff that happened in the background. But basically, if you want to put it in two sentences, it's the fact that Oviedo is accused of being the perpetrator, kind of the mastermind behind some murders that happened a long time ago that people had kind of forgotten about, right? And now these investigations are coming up again.
They were politically or sporting involved, or was it something just so random?
This was actually during Oviedo's time before. This was before he even got involved in the sport. This is when he was a businessman up north in what you would call some kind of, it's a little bit like a sugar plantation, which he was the manager and he controlled and he had some shares in.
Yeah.
Right. And there was some troubles there, and they say that he basically hired gang members to take care of justice, per se. Not very, very sketchy stuff. Very, very, very sketchy stuff. Right now, why is it that it's taken so long for this to come up again? We don't know. What we do know is that Oviedo tried to cover it up by doing bribery. Basically, he tried to get one of the Supreme Court justices to be on his side just in case something happened with this by giving him World Cup tickets. So, of course, everybody wants to go to the World Cup.
Yeah, especially if you haven't seen your national team in 36 years, even more of a bonus, right? To kind of be quiet.
So this is ridiculous. I mean, we have like obstruction of justice. We have corruption. We have bribery. We have murder. Holy cow. Anyway, so this guy basically is just involved in all of this deep, deep corruption in Peruvian government, right? So therefore, this is also part of the reason why they want to repeal this law, and they want him to step down. So right now we find ourselves kind of at a Mexican standoff, really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have Oviedo on one side, right, who is not going to step down. We have Congress on the other, and we have the law in between as the bullet, per se. And so the thing is that Oviedo obviously has FIFA and Conmebol on his side, because to them, they don't really care about Oviedo's past. And obviously someone is innocent until proven otherwise. And these investigations could eventually say that, this is all a big misunderstanding and Oviedo's actually clean and he's good to go and there's no issue here. That is something that, of course, we're going to let, the justice and the law kind of take care of. And that's kind of the perspective that FIFA is taking on this, right? At the same time, if you see it from the perspective of the Peruvian Congress, they're saying, wait a second, you're basically telling us that FIFA is going to put us against the wall, right, when FIFA is one of the most corrupt organizations out there, right? We had the previous president of the Peruvian Federation, who Oviedo replaced, Manuel Burga, was part of the FIFA gate scandal.
He's actually on house arrest. He's still on house arrest, isn't he?
I believe he might be out by now. I don't know how he got himself out of this mess, but he was investigated for a long, long time in the United States concerning those cases. So to Congress, it seems like to them, this is an issue not only of sports, but also of sovereignty, because do we let someone like FIFA tell us what we should do, right? Now, the funny thing is that if the Peruvian Federation really needs to change its laws so that they will match FIFA's what FIFA wants better, then they could do that internally also.
Yeah.
As an executive committee, right, and as a body, as an organization, they have the power to regulate themselves. So, all of this, extending the president's term and all that, in reality, Congress doesn't need to do this. You don't need Congress to do this. If not, Congress would have to do all kinds of stuff. And obviously, this is way more than Congress can take on. But because of all of this, it seems like that's been an option that has been forgotten. So basically, right now we have the Peruvian Federation blackmailing Congress. If you see their Twitter account, if you see their YouTube page, they post videos about this is all the bad things that will happen if Congress repeals the law. We're going to lose the U17 World Cup hosting rights for next year. We're going to lose the 2018 Sudamericana final. Peru's not going to be able to go to the World Cup, and all of these terrible, terrible things.
Copa America,
right? Youth tournaments coming up next year in CONMEBOL. There's a lot of things that are kind of on the line. And so even though nobody in Congress has come out and directly said, yes, we want Oviedo to step down, and that's why we're having this Mexican standoff, a lot of people are kind of inferring that. A lot of people are assuming that that's the real reason why we're having this issue at the moment, right?
Yeah. Chris, let me ask you, as far as the standoff is concerned, how is the public, how is the media in Peru taking this on? Are they siding with the FA, saying, hey, you know what, we're going to be missing, because of course many in the media, if there's no World Cup, if there's no Copa Sudamericana, if there's no this, if there's no that, that's a lack of work. They're not working, you know, right. Journalists aren't working, media outlets aren't working, their rights fees end up going, you know, they end up, you know, going up in smoke. How do they end up portraying the situation? Where do they stand here? Or are they with the government saying, hey, you know what? You can't end up being blackmailed by a group of individuals that are, for all intents and purposes, corrupt.
Unfortunately, the way that things are right now in Peru, we are having some of the same issues that we're seeing in the United States and Canada with kind of giving news your own spin, right? So a lot of the news outlets are worried, and they're saying, you know, Peru could be sanctioned by FIFA because of this, right? And we're seeing a lot of people out there that are kind of trying to scare the population and make this a huge deal, when in reality, of course, the country has other issues that, you know, that it needs to solve. But other than that, it's kind of just really between the Peruvian Federation and Congress. We haven't really seen the media take strong sides, other than, like I said, for some scattered journalists here and there that are kind of trying to be more, I don't know what the word is here, but basically maybe fake news, you know, kind of clickbaiting in the way that they go about reporting this issue.
All that.
Sensationalism, that's right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same issues that we're seeing in other places. But luckily, it's not like it's widespread at the moment. We're really just waiting for Congress to decide all of this.
When would it get to that point where you start seeing people getting a bit desperate? Or is it going to get to that certain situation? Because apparently the Congress in Peru is about to vote on this, you know, in the next couple of days. It's not something that, you know, we're waiting till the end of the year or next session or anything. I mean, it's the voting is imminent.
So basically what we have here is that we still have two exits, okay, before we are kind of committed to this road. First of all, first exit is the vote in Congress. Now, in Congress in Peru, you need to have two votes. They already did the first one. The first one was 50-something to 40-something. So it was very, very, very close, okay? For the result to be changed, you would basically need 7 or 8 votes from those that voted yes to flip and vote no, okay? Now, let's say for some reason it does make it through the second vote and the law then goes to the president, then the president can still veto it. The only issue is that compared to the United States, where a president's veto is only overturned by 2/3, in Peru is only half, 1/2 of the votes, just simple majority. So we have all those stops ahead of us. So this means that, you know, 7 or 8 congressmen could change their mind. And we know that political situation in Peru right now is such that the biggest force in parliament, the biggest party, their leader, Keiko Fujimori, is currently in jail. So we don't really know if she's still trying to lead the ropes, if she's still trying to tell them what they should do, or if it's basically we have like a party without a leader, and therefore all of them are kind of just going to vote their conscience and they're going to vote in different ways. If they vote as a bloc, it could be really bad. If they kind of think it through and they want to be popular and they want to get reelected, probably they might side on the side of the federation and vote this law down.
Now, if they do vote it down, what ends up happening to sports in Peru?
Nothing at all.
It is just a situation between two different parties. So let's say volleyball in Peru, which is very popular, it doesn't get affected, or basketball or whatever other sports you want to look at, you know, swimming, don't get affected in any way, shape, or form.
Not at all, because mm-hmm. this law was to carve kind of the Peruvian Federation into its own little circle, right? So it was trying to set it aside from everybody else. Now, the original law that was supposed to change all the sport federations in Peru, volleyball, basketball, swimming, all of them, that law, as far as I know, didn't even actually make it to its final vote, right? Before FIFA freaked out and kind of had Peru carve a space for soccer. So in reality, this is all just about soccer. All the other federations will be fine. It will not affect their funding. It will not affect them in any way, shape, mm-hmm. or form.
Now, for a second, and we're here with Christopher Viscardo over here on Beyond the Pitch. And let me have you just take out your crystal ball real quick, kind of, you know, wipe off the dust a little bit from it. What do you see? I mean, where do you see this situation heading?
Well, to be honest, I'm choosing to be optimistic, mostly because of the political climate in Peru at the moment.
Yeah.
So basically, Keiko Fujimori, as we know, is in jail because of corruption allegations also, which before, when she was free, you know, it was almost guaranteed that her party was going to vote as one massive force. And they have more than 50% of the seats in the legislature. So it's almost like they could decide anything in Congress. Right now, she's very unpopular. Her party's very unpopular. So they could use this as an opportunity to redeem themselves with the population and say, okay, we're going to vote this down. We're just going to let it be. And therefore, the law dies right there, and then nothing happens. Or mm-hmm. I can also see the situation, like I said, Keiko's in jail. All her congressmen and congresswomen don't know what to do. So they kind of all just decide to vote different ways, in which case, again, more than likely that the law will not be repealed and therefore we'll be good to go. So to me, it's kind of a two out of three, 66% chance to me that everything's going to be okay. But that one third is always scary.
but you see, that's the thing with Peruvian politics right now. And how it, not just in the past couple of weeks, but in the past 2 years. I mean, you have to go back all the way to Pedro Pablo Kuczynski, him coming into office and all of a sudden him being ousted from government. Of course, you mentioned Fujimori and her situation. And now, where does the president, where does Martin Vizcarra end up falling in all of this? Where does he position himself?
He is currently a very, very popular president.
That's a rarity, to be honest with you, because, I mean, very few presidents can really have that distinction nowadays, especially.
Oh, for sure. But the fact that he decided to confront Keiko Fujimori and her party face on, right, after what we saw them do to PPK, to Pedro Pablo Kuczynski, it kind of made him very, very popular. He's doing right now, not only did he try to pass all these laws that are anti-corruption laws, but he's also trying to do a referendum to amend the Constitution so that we can get rid of the corruption that's kind of basically part of the system at the moment, right? And people are seeing, like, he's seeing this like, okay, this guy is serious about cutting out this cancer from our government. So therefore, he's very popular. Now, we can kind of see where his mind is at because he just recently declared the U-17 World Cup that will happen next year as an event of national and public interest, which was something that FIFA wanted to see as an act of good faith from the government, right? So FIFA asked for the president to do this, and the president said he was more than happy to sign this declaration saying that, yes, we would love to host you guys. We would love to host the World Cup. So therefore, I think if anything, he's going to side on the side of soccer and of the federation, and also because this could hurt not only the people in the press who you know report on these things, but also the economy. We have two big three big events in Peru next year, the Pan American Games. We have the World Cup, U17 World Cup, and we have the Copa Sudamericana final. That is a lot of money coming into Peru and tourism.
Yeah, exactly. Everything else. And of course, Martin Vizcarra, oh, gotta correct me if I'm wrong, he was the former ambassador in either France or Canada?
He was a former ambassador in Canada. Yeah, so it's funny how Canada. It works in the Peruvian government. He was both the vice president and the ambassador. And at one point, he was also the Ministry of Transportation. So, I mean, he was wearing all kinds of hats at one point.
And he was doing it from Canada, too, wasn't he?
Well, he got ousted. I mean, we don't need to talk about this, but
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
I mean, it's a mess. But yes, he's had plenty of government experience the last few years, per se.
That's definitely the case. But again, Christopher, look, it's something that's very confusing. But I mean, you've really been able to break it down too. Now, we see another situation very similar to an extent in Uruguay. Of course, in Uruguay now, they have the normalization committee already in place until January. Argentina already went through that particular phase. Now, there's a possibility, let's be honest, that it could happen in Peru. Is that being looked at as an option instead of being disaffiliated completely from FIFA, saying, all right, fine, bring in a normalization committee that you've done in these countries like Argentina, like Uruguay, like in Australia, that they were looking to do as well. And to prevent all these events from not going about along the wayside and Peru, the Peruvian people losing money, we can work this out in a process, yet, not losing everything all in one shot.
Well, the difference is that if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me here, but from what I understand, the issues in Uruguay and in Argentina were more internal issues of the federation.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Okay. They are.
Here in Peru, everything is external, because if you think about it, Oviedo's term has really been a successful one in Peru. He is starting to – first of all, we went to the World Cup, most importantly.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's currently restructuring the first, second division. There's going to be more teams next year. There's going to be a new league that's going to launch. Better rules, better sanctions for those teams that don't pay their players. I mean, honestly, it's been successful. Not only that, he's starting a new sports complex for all national teams in Peru that's going to be beautiful, beautiful place. I don't know if you've seen any pictures, but it looks great.
I saw the groundbreaking with him and Ricardo Gareca, where they're looking around and observing how the grounds were looking.
Correct. So honestly, he's actually done a great job. If you look internally, we're not in a mess internally in any way, shape, or form. The issue is his past and what he's done externally from his position of power, with the bribe and with the giving away the tickets and all the other stuff. So therefore, to me, this normalization procedure is actually not an option. If anything, the worst thing that's going to happen to Peru is going to be suspension. Now, disaffiliation is a whole nother beast, right? But suspension could hurt us for a few months until we can renegotiate something with FIFA.
Chris, again, thank you for coming on the show. For me, it's obviously, for me, I express it from my perspective of what happened 4 years ago in Colombia. And them getting to the World Cup for the first time in 16 years. I've tried my best, I really have, to explain the enormity of what has gone on in Peruvian football over the past, I want to say, 3 years. I'll even take it back to the Copa America in 2015. Mm-hmm. You as a Peruvian, explain to me, or explain to both myself as well as the audience, what this means. Because of the momentum that has been really made in Peruvian football, because of the strides forward that have been made, I mean, how devastating is this for Peruvian football overall? I mean, really explain what it's meant over the past few years, and people have gone against can probably see it because of the amount of fans that they see, because of what they saw with fans in the World Cup in Russia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, let me. Yeah, it is kind of hard to explain. I mean, like, I kind of try to put it in the lines of like the Cubs winning the World Series a few years back, but then even that is not enough, really. If you think about it, you know, I think I'm going to give myself away here. I'm a millennial, obviously. Okay, my dad was 12 years old the last time Peru went to a World Cup. Okay, so for my dad, seeing Peru at a World Cup was a big memory. A very, very fuzzy memory, right? And for the last 36 years, because we have faced issues of terrorism, we faced issues of the economy. We were as bad as Venezuela in the 90s, right? We faced issues of corruption. All of these societal and governmental issues were just made even worse by the fact that, you know, the clock kept ticking and ticking and telling us that we weren't even good enough to participate in world sports. Right? It's like, not only do we have to deal with all these issues, on top of that, we're not even good enough for the World Cup. And so all of a sudden, this is something that, you know, this World Cup qualifier and the qualification and Peru going and participating, all of a sudden, it's like we've taken this 36-year-old bag of rocks off our shoulders, and all of a sudden the future seems bright again. You know, I know that it might sound like an exaggeration, but for a lot of us, it united us as Peruvians. It told us that, you know, if we're united, if we work hard, we can overcome these challenges. And not only are we overcoming them, you know, through better government and a better economy, but also, you know, we are now we have a seat at the big kids table again. Right, as part of world soccer.
Yeah.
So this is a huge deal, but at the same time, let's remember that people have short memories, right? So even though we had a great year last year, went undefeated for a year and a half and all of that, people are going to start asking for Peru to win games, and they're going to be unhappy with Gareca if he doesn't do well in the next few months, and so forth and so forth. So that's kind of the perspective on how things are going in Peru at the moment.
Yeah, I remember when Luis Miguel Echegaray was on the show a while back, and he described it as, well, he had never seen Peru as well in a World Cup. And he said that what the things that his father told him, to him, they seemed like fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like a fairy tale that, you know, really, that happened? Really? You know, Dad, are you sure? You know, that kind of thing. He pretty much looked at it from that perspective of, you know, he'd never seen it before, but his dad told him, hey, these guys used to be pretty good back in the day, and it just never happened. But all that momentum that you've been able to build up in the past 3 years could end up, you know, coming to waste if things aren't managed properly, I should say, in both the FA and even in the government. Thank you so much, Christopher, for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Where can people follow you on social media if they have any more questions about this? And what projects are you undergoing right now?
Oh, for sure. So I am Christopher Viscardo. My Twitter handle is VIZ_FC. I'm more than happy to answer any questions. And I'm also working as part of the Peruvian Waltz, which is a project that's trying to internationalize Peruvian soccer. We talk about Peruvian soccer in English so that everybody around the world can enjoy it. As we know, English is the lingua franca of today's world. So therefore, we talk about the first division, second division, lower leagues, the national team. You can get all your latest news about Peru in English from the Peruvian Waltz. And their Twitter is @PeruWaltz. So you can follow us there.
Yeah, great job you guys are doing there, you as well as Brian Birdie and the rest of the gang there. So really got to tip my hat to the entire crew over there. Thank you so much, Christopher. It's been a pleasure. And again, hope to talk to you soon. Hey, you know what? And I hope everything goes well, too.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank the awesome Christopher Viscardo for really explaining to us what's going on in Peruvian football. And also want to thank you for joining us here on Beyond the Pitch. I'm Juan Arango, and it's been a pleasure to have you here. Also, I really want to ask you for a big favor. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, you rate us, you leave a review, let us know what we're doing. Of course, you can also check out Phil. He also has his interviews. He also has his Manchester United show, also Sempre Inter, as well with Nima and the gang. Una Hora con la H with my friends Jose and Andrea, who are also doing some great content in Spanish. I'll also have some Spanish interviews as well in the coming days and weeks. A whole lot of content. And of course, I can't forget, definitely can't forget, both Joe and Rob over at Low Limit Football. So make sure you check out all those shows. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, because you will be getting all of that content every single time. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you review. Make sure you leave a rating. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We also have to thank our wonderful sponsor. Of course, that is Onnit. And I've been asked a couple of times already, man, what's Onnit? You talk about it all the time. And I definitely do, because Onnit, man, it's one awesome company. It's a health and business fitness juggernaut that's dedicated to delivering total human optimization to its vast customer base of athletes, thinkers, fitness gurus, and entrepreneurs. Through a wide variety of customer products and supplements, Onnit combines cutting-edge science, earth-grown nutrients, and time-tested strategies to help people reach peak performance. Whether you're climbing mountains or biking down them, building businesses or closing sales, chasing PRs in the weight room, or even running a marathon, Onnit is the brand you want in your back pocket. As one of the fastest growing health and fitness companies in the world, Onnit refuses to bring anything but the very best to market. Whether it be energy bars, protein shakes, creatine, or their flagship product. And ladies and gentlemen, I use this. This works. Trust me, it is the real deal. I use it every time I go into the booth right before commentary. It's called Alpha Brain. Check it out, Alpha Brain, some really awesome stuff there. Onnit's diverse lineup of products and supplements are backed by science and research. And now we're giving you, our listeners, the opportunity to join in all the fun. You can save up to 10% on Onnit by visiting Onnit, Onnit.com, and you go in and you use the coupon code BEYOND. So make sure you go to Onnit, because they have some tremendous supplements and products you will definitely benefit from. So again, thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you soon.